When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system, Diolis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Previously on Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
I do cheat on you occasionally in terms of cricket podcasts.
The next person, Nathan Horitz.
I'm just going to practice wandering out of my crease absentmindedly and see what happens.
So his advice this week was the 100 is as welcome as COVID.
In a week where we've officially changed our terminology from podcastsmen to podcasters, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
I was playing for the Crusaders.
Yeah.
She was in year 10 but was asked to play in the year 11-12 boys' side. And I had to bowl to her and I was like, I'm an under-19 state cricketer. Like, what's going on? And she absolutely crunched me and smacked me everywhere, smacked me out of the attack. And from that day, I never, ever underestimated Meg Lanning ever again.
That, of course, was Glenn Maxwell talking about bowling to Meg Lanning in high school.
Yes, yes. So Maxwell's slightly older than Meg Lanning, but not old enough to prevent her from smacking him around a bit.
A worthy adversary at any age.
Very worthy. How much would you pay to see those two facing off against one another?
Oh, I would start the bidding in three figures for such an opportunity.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you are here with Kat Jones and Dan Libke on Can't Ball, Can't Throw, our podcast about cricket for the week. Let's get going on it.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
So there's lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we've just got time to cover, let's say, the first leg of the Australia v India women's series.
And of course, it's a multi-format series, the first leg of the three ODIs, mm-hmm. and they are complete.
They are complete.
We talked about one of them last week, but they...
we talked about the warm-up game.
That's right, we did too. And they'd still have a test and three T20s to go. But let's talk about this first series.
Yeah, it was a pretty good series, wasn't it? It was played in Mackay. It was played at the Great Barrier Reef Arena. Did you like the Great Barrier Reef Arena?
Yeah, and I think you were tweeting quite the global warming subplot.
Well, yeah, I was disappointed to hear that one of the ends was called the Great Barrier Reef End. I think it's a little bit of woke nonsense to get all up about climate change and talking about the end of the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, it's a bit gloomy, isn't it?
It is very gloomy.
Yeah.
Yes. And of course, the other thing that people were talking about was the fact that Australia went into the series having won a world record 24 matches in a row and everybody couldn't shut up about the streak.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone ever thought the streak would end.
No.
And so you were proposing, how was this streak going to end?
I could have ended via either A team winning, which seemed the least likely option.
Yeah.
Rain seemed the next most likely. And then the heat death of the universe seemed the most probable way for it to end.
So. Yeah. And we did have the heat death of the universe, didn't we?
Oh, we did by the time we got to the third match. Yes.
I like that you also continued the global warming subplot with the rain as the second option there, too.
Yeah. In the first match, India batted first and they were kind of a little bit rusty. They staggered their way to 8 for 225 from their 50 overs, and Australia just barely got out of second gear to race that down. They had 9 overs and 9 wickets to spare, which is pretty comprehensive, I think.
Yeah, they were just basically trading milestones, who's getting the 50, who's getting the 100. I think Alyssa Healy got the 50 pretty quickly.
Yep. Haynes. Yeah, and then Rachel Haynes also got a quick 50. And Meg Lanning, it was like she was facing Glenn Maxwell. She was racing along to a runner ball 50 as well. But then she kind of slowed down right at the end because I think they had done the calculations, thought, well, if we get this precisely right, Haynes could get a century and then Lanning could also get a 50. And they kind of mucked it up a little bit in the end. Haynes was left stranded on 93 not out, so she couldn't even hit a 6 to bring up a century.
I think she was on 85 at one point with 17 needed to win.
Yes.
So it was always going to be a bit of a stretch. But someone pointed out that she was so – Rachel Haynes was so good in the field. If she'd just been a little sloppier in the field and didn't save quite as many runs, then she would have had a lot more, a much better chance of getting to 100.
That was poor foresight from her when she's sprinting like a lunatic to the boundary to save 2s and 3s and 4s.
Yeah. But they learned from that lesson, didn't they, in the subsequent 2 games, Australia? They let a few more runs through. Australia winning the first game set it up for, could have been another 3-0 defeat in this series, but it wasn't to be because the second one day was just so spectacular.
It was a classic match. It was a fantastic game. India again batted first. This time they cranked it up a little bit more. They added an extra 50 runs to their total. They finished at 7 for 274. Smriti Mandana, she scored 86 from 94, but she also had the magnificent tactical ploy of running out her captain, Mithali Raj, who was a little bit of a handbrake throughout the series. So probably good tactics there from Mandana to run her out.
Yeah, well, Alyssa Healy on the stump mic duty at one point said Mithali Raj only strikes at 50 in chases, so the longer she's in, the happier we are. I think she was striking at 50 across the board.
Yes. But that was a decent effort there from Mandana. And there's some late order hitting from Richard Ghosh and the opening bowler, Julan Goswami. Mm. But then it was the thing that caught everybody's eye was when they started bowling under lights, the Indians, they were absolutely fantastic. They were swinging it all over the place.
Yeah. So Australia's chasing at this point, and I think at one point we had the Meghna versus Megan matchup, yes, which was also wonderful.
Yep. So Meghna Singh versus Megan Lanning. We don't often call her Megan, but yes.
Yep.
And Healy was gone for a duck in the first over, then Lanning was out for 6 and Perry was run out and Ash Gardner was caught at slip and Australia appeared pretty much doomed, except for Beth Mooney was still in. Beth Mooney had been promoted to opening the batting because Rachel Haynes had been injured in the nets.
Yeah.
And so she joined up with Talia McGrath to add 126. And then she joined up with Nicola Carey to get the 97 from 69 balls to win, but not without a little bit of controversy from the very last ball of the match.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first controversy was really that we had McGrath getting so many runs, right?
Yep.
We're not used to this.
Yeah, she definitely became the highest scoring Australian McGrath in history, in international cricket history. So
fantastic.
Good for her.
Good to turn that around. But the last ball of the match, Carey was dismissed. Clocked a ball for a catch, but that was determined to be a no ball on height. It was over her waist, and then they went back and they had another go at it, in which they managed to scamper through for victory. Got a 2 and won. Australia won.
Perfectly normal finish to a perfectly normal cricket match. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a no ball in your opinion?
Oh, well, I don't think so.
It was really tight.
I mean, there's a lot of different opinions on it. It doesn't really matter either way, I guess.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Australia remains steadfastly on the right side of the line, though.
Yes.
As always, we stay on the right side of the line. In this case, it was a waistline, but Australia's always on that right side.
Yes, I just think it was just so peculiar to got this ball tracking technology which measures things down to the millimeter, and then in like a crunch moment that decides a match, we're just relying on some third umpire to get out the thumb and have a bit of an eyeball and see if they can work out exactly where her waist might have been and where the ball might have ended up if it had gone any further. It was very strange.
Right. Yeah, all down to human experience in the end.
I guess so, yes.
Yeah.
Good way to make things a little bit more controversial. So that took the streak to 26 matches.
26, 2-0 in the series. And then we went into the third ODI and I had skin in the game on an India win in this one. I saw how they went in the second. I thought, I think India can win this third one.
Yep.
And sure enough, spoiler, they actually did win, but how did they get there, Dan?
Well, Australia batted first. This time Meg Lanning won the toss again and she decided, all right, we're sick of chasing. That was a little bit fraught, so we'll set a target. And they had a few more setbacks, but India were really sloppy in the field.
Oh, how many catches did they drop?
They were not good in the field, I think. And at that stage you thought, their brains are cooked.
Too much cricket.
Too much cricket. Yeah. Too much frustration after losing that previous match. They're doomed. They can't win this. They let Australia reach 9 for 264, which realistically, it was probably about 30 or 40 more than Australia appeared like they were going to get early on.
Yeah, it was so kind of India to really drop a dozen or so catches because it made it such much more of an exciting match because basically India would have thrashed us otherwise.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, but India started really well. They got off to a flyer. They were cranking it up. Australia were bowling, had their own set of ways to help the opposition into the game. It was Elise Perry was bowling wides all over the place, swinging it, but without any control. And so India were just racing along. And then they sort of had a bit of a stumble as well. Australia put the pressure on a little bit. Mm. There were some really good catches in the outfield.
Australia unfairly not dropping a single catch.
Yep, the ugly Aussies strike again.
We had some fabulous middle order hitting. Goswami came in and we had, I think it was a couple of fours in quick succession and thought, wow, India are really in this. Again, another twist. And then eventually Goswami hit a four in the final over to win the match.
Yeah, it was a very dramatic finish to a great match. So two great matches out of three. I think that's pretty good. You can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, everyone was praising that middle order. It was Snehrana, Yastika Bhatia.
Yep.
But the real hero again, Mithali Raj, for getting out on 16 and allowing her colleagues in the team to really crank it up a bit.
Yep. So that meant that Australia's streak finally ended on 26. Mm-hmm. So I like to think that's one for each letter of the alphabet, and you could have like a children's book. So, you know, A is for Alyssa. She did this. B is for Beth. She did this. C is for Carrie. And just keep going on. So you could write a little children's book out of that. I think.
Good luck with Zed.
Yeah, man.
But poor old Stella Campbell playing her first match. I mean, Australia has never won a match when she's been playing.
No, she's the curse, isn't she?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Although there was a message on Instagram, I think it was today, from Elise Perry, who had a snapshot of her with a very young Stella Campbell playing in the under-12s or something. And Elise Perry said something about how Stella Campbell had a growth spurt since she first met her.
Yes.
Towering over her these days.
It's fantastic. But anyway, 2 points for each win. So Australia lead 4-2 in the series at this point. And we have a test coming very, very soon. That'll be worth 4 points.
Yeah, that starts on Thursday on the Gold Coast. It's a pink ball test under lights.
Ooh.
So that'll be exciting. Australia's got a few injuries to worry about going into that. Mm. So Wareham, Haynes and Mooney all failed to finish the third ODIs. They all pretty much have hamstring injuries as far as I can tell. So
yeah, well, the commentators were saying it was they were all out with hamstring awareness.
Yes, yeah.
Which is a very odd term. Some of them, I mean, possibly it was all of them out with hamstring awareness.
I think it's politically correct.
You don't have injuries,
you just have to be aware of it.
You're not allowed to tweak it, that's incorrect. Yeah. You're not allowed to snap it, you definitely don't want to snap it.
No.
You don't want to strain it.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. Hamstring awareness. So it's a great term. We should be raising money for hamstring awareness.
Yes, we definitely should. Definitely should. Have a telethon. We'll get...
We can have a match with that as its theme, I think.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I think that works.
Mm. But also in this series, I think you pointed out that Australia had 10 batters. How many bowlers? Seven bowlers,
two wicketkeepers.
All within a single 11.
Yeah, so it's not really fair. That's how you win 26 matches in a row, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And Sophie Molyneux, I mean, people who are batting, opening the batting for their state, batting at number 10 and 11.
And of course, Sophie Molyneux was injured as well in that third match. Yes. He copped a ball in the face, so it was edged down, it was skied off the outside edge of the bat. So Healy scampered off to chase it. So Molyneux ran in from wherever she was fielding, close to cover like the throw. And the ball kind of hit the edge of the pitch and just kind of sprang up and smacked her in the side of the mouth and blood everywhere. And she went off for a little bit and then came back on with this magnificent strapping all over her face. It was a little bit terrifying, but she ended up bowling. She had a ball driven straight back at her face again. She dropped that caught and bowled chance, but I'm not sure you can blame her. Given
it was pretty amazing. And Alyssa Healy made 2,000 ODI runs during the series. Mm-hmm. She's the fastest to do so. So it only took her 1,954 balls faced.
Yep. So she was the first woman to ever reach 2,000 runs at a 100 strike rate or better. So faster than a runner ball.
Fantastic. And of course, we know that she's turned around since about 2017 to much, much faster run scoring and a much higher average. I think her average is 55 or so at the moment. So that's amazing.
Yep. And I think Perry also cracked 5,000 international runs.
Ooh.
Lanning went over a record. Haynes went over 2,000 runs as well. So there's milestones everywhere.
Yeah.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this week's sponsor—it's a card game. It's
fantastic.
It's called All the Fixins. It's a card game I invented. It's in the style of Secret Hitler, if you've played that.
Mm.
That's for 4 to 11 players. It's all about trying to discover which one of your teammates is the match fixer.
Yeah, it's all about lies and deception and corruption and all the things that make cricket the greatest game there is.
Definitely, yeah. So basically, you can get it from my website. You go to leavecricket.com/store. It comes in PDF form. It'll cost you $5 and you can download it and print it out onto cardboard, cut it out. You can play it with all your friends and loved ones and see if you can find the match fixer in your cricket team before you lose the test match.
Yeah, it's a wonderful school holiday activity. You can even just print it out on paper, stick it onto little pieces of cardboard, and make sure that you work out who the match fixer is before the rest of your family.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realise and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realise that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
All right, so this is Kat's betting corner again. So we're going to get an update on how your IPL bets are going.
Well, we've had quite a few IPL matches, which is wonderful. We've been watching them all throughout the week. And we also had an AFL grand final. We're not going to talk about that because we watch cricket instead, which is, you know, our preferred way of getting through the AFL grand final. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have, as I mentioned, I really only have two bets. And one of them is for
the 11-leg bet.
This one with a nine legs, which is enough. And but let's talk about the Maxwell bet first. Mm-hmm. So I've got a bet on Glenn Maxwell to score the most in his team, RCB. So he has unfortunately been overtaken by Virat Kohli. I don't know how. I didn't notice Kohli scoring any runs at all in this tournament.
Well, apparently he got some. Like Maxwell was player of the match last night in the game for RCB. But Kohli also scored a half century. So I guess he snuck ahead of him there somehow.
Not much. So Kohli's on 307 for the season. Maxwell's on 300. And in the top 20, there's another two from their team. It's Padikkal on 287 and AB de Villiers also in the top 20. So who knows if Maxwell will make it. It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Very exciting. So, I mean, that'll go the whole season, that tiny little bet will keep me entertained. And then the other bet.
The nine-legged bet. How many legs are good?
Well, they're all still alive. They'll all be pretty much still alive until deep into the season. So there are one of the legs is who's going to finish on the bottom. And I want KKR or Rajasthan Royals to finish on the bottom. But at the moment, unfortunately, Sunrisers are well ensconced on the bottom.
Yeah, they're deeply entrenched down there.
They've only won one match. They're on 2 points or something. So the teams that I want on the bottom are on 8 points each. In fact, Kolkata Knight Riders are fourth on the ladder, sadly.
That's a bit grim.
But look, they could easily drop down. So we'll wait and see. And the other parts of the bet, a few players have to score over 500 runs. Kohli and Darwin doing well. Mm-hmm. The others, it's still alive. And a few players trying to get 20 wickets. They're all motoring along. They are getting more wickets in Abu Dhabi and Sharjah than they were getting in India. So it's all still possible.
As long as Sunrisers come good.
Very unlikely.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
All right, it's the Moeller Award. This is our award for the most absurd thing that happened in cricket over the past week. So who do we have as nominations this week, Kat?
We have Sophie Molyneux because she was looking very creepy, wasn't she, and quite scary. She could have been in a horror movie after she was strapped up.
Yep.
Basically just from the strapping, not from the injury. We don't know what the injury looks like underneath, but it was pretty much right over the top of her lips.
Yep. Yeah, so I called it a SOMO throw blow FOMO.
Wow, that's quite a thing.
Yep.
I don't know if that'll take off.
So. No, it's a lengthy hashtag, isn't it?
It is. It's a great hashtag. So we have her nominated. We have another nomination from Matthew Hayden. He was commentating the IPL.
Yes, he was commentating the IPL, which is always an exciting thing to be listening to. And he decided that he was going to encourage viewers to go stick their heads in an oven so they can get a sense of the heat in Abu Dhabi. So he said, "Go if you've got an oven, go there, turn it on, stick your head in. That's how hot it is." It's like, probably shouldn't be saying that.
You should not be saying that. Yeah. Kids, don't be listening at home. Don't try this at home.
Don't stick your head in an oven under any circumstance. Even if Matthew Hayden tells you to do it, especially if Matthew Hayden tells you to do it.
Even if it means you'll avoid listening to Matthew Hayden.
Yeah.
which may be the only reason for doing it, but still, even so.
There are other ways to not listen to Matthew Hayden.
Like mute.
Join the Pakistan cricket team and,
that's right,
and be a good batter.
Exactly. So who else do we have nominated?
Well, we've got the Marshes. We've got Sean Marsh. So it's the start of the Sheffield Shield century. So guess what Sean Marsh has done, Kat?
He's clearly just hit a milestone.
He's hit a century in the first match of the first Sheffield Shield game. So
yep.
Smash's away. So
season's on. Sean Marsh comes good.
Yep. So maybe this summer will be the one where we'll finally get a chance to be given a decent opportunity to test
that. It's about time.
Yeah.
About time he gets a chance.
We can only hope.
And it looks like we have another Marsh, right?
Yeah, we got Mitch Marsh, mm-hmm. the other Marsh. So he's got an explanation for his recent good form, which he demonstrated on Australia's only tour of 2021.
Is this the secret ingredient, how every batter can become a good cricketer?
I think it is. I think Mitch Marsh has cracked it. He's worked it out.
Will this help me as a number 11 who's never made contact?
He will. Here's the tip. You ready for this,
okay,
everybody?
Yep.
To be brutally honest, I've just practiced hitting sixes. Mitch Marsh said he's cracked it. That's all I really did before I went away, and it seemed to work for me, so I will keep doing that.
Wowee.
So just hit sixes, kids. Yep, that's how you do it.
Wow.
It works for Mitch Marsh. It'll work for you.
Yikes.
And I've got one final nomination, which I'm not quite sure how old this is, but it was brought up as we were watching the ODIs between Australia and India.
Mm.
Meg Lanning has a tunnel boring machine named after it. Were you aware of this?
No, and it doesn't sound like a compliment to me.
No, it doesn't. So in Melbourne, they're building a whole heap of new train tunnels, and they've got giant machines to bore holes into these tunnels. And
is it called the Mega or is it called the Lanning?
I think it's just called Meg Lanning. It said, this is a boring machine. We're going to call it Meg Lanning.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
I think they're all named after famous Victorian women. So there's like Joan Kerner, I think. There are other ones. But Meg Lanning as a boring machine.
No.
So it seems a little bit harsh on Meg.
It does.
She's very methodical, very, very good at churning out the runs. I wouldn't call her boring, though.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, so who are we going to give the muller to this week?
I'm not sure who we can give it. Why don't we give it to Sean Marsh?
Sean Marsh, yeah. Crack, getting us all interested again. The Smash comeback.
Reminding us that the Sheffield Shield is on.
The Sheffield Shield is on. Thank you.
You are sure this was this year's Sheffield Shield, not just a replay of every other Sheffield Shield?
It started, they're done with the Marsh Cup, which is where the Marshes get into form. So
yeah,
they're under they're not done with the Marsh Cup. They've only had one game, but it started. And now the Shield has started as well. So, yeah, congratulations, Sean Marsh. You win this week's Muller Award.
And that is the end of Can't Ball, Can't Throw for this week. You've been listening to Dan Libke, who is at Lib Cricket, and Kat Jones, who is at Cricket Bat Kat, and you can follow us at Can't Bowl Throw.
Yeah, that's on Twitter, or you can like us on Facebook. Just go search for Can't Bowl Can't Throw, and you can find links to pretty much everything we do over at can'tbowlcan'tthrow.com.
And you can find the advertised card game at Dan's website.
Yes, so that's libcricket.com/store. And we will see you all next week.
Social Podcast Network.